Welcome to Koi Sports Grassroots CIC podcast, where as always, the focus is on connecting business with grassroots sports and charities, both in the UK and throughout the world. This is Tony Rice, and it is my joy and indeed honour to introduce you to another Koi Sports member, Tim Seymour from Your Profit Coach. Tim, welcome. How are you?
Hi, Tony. I'm really well, thank you. Quite excited to be here this evening to have a chat with you. Really good fun.
Top man. That's the attitude. That puts a smile on my face, Tim. I'd love to hear that. Good stuff. Well, Tim, I never, ever want these things to be sort of like a job interview. That's not what it's all about. But I'm always fascinated just to get to learn a little bit about the people we speak with here on Koi Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast. So if you could, just give me a little bit of a background to yourself and what's taken you to Your Profit Coach.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So I started off an accountancy practice 17 years ago. And I probably made the classic mistakes we all make when we start up in business, because we might be good at what we do, but we're not necessarily brilliant at the marketing or perhaps how to talk to clients, etc. So, yeah, I ended up with a business that was stuck in that month-to-month cycle of cash coming in, cash going out, pay the employees, and what's left was mine. And it wasn't always very much. So working long hours, getting quite frustrated, getting a little bit stressed. So I looked around for a better way to do things or to find a different way to run the business. And that's when I came across a system called Profit First, which is a book written by a guy called Mike Michalowicz. Mm-hmm. And there's a Profit First system to managing the cash in your business. It's all behavior based and about creating the right habits. So I implemented it into my business. I applied to become a certified Profit First professional. Brilliant. Gratefully, I was accepted, went through the training, and to keep it short, it completely changed my business life and my world around. I managed to get the accountancy practice into such good shape because of this that I was able to sell the accountancy side off. And then I transitioned into being a business coach to help people that are stuck in the same situation I was in move forward, become more cash rich and pay themselves more money from their business, hence Your Profit Coach was born.
I absolutely love that. And I really appreciate the systems there. I'm excited to learn a little bit more about it. There's an old adage. I've worked in sales for many years. There's an old adage in sales that goes, sales for show, profits for a pro. But there's a massive difference, isn't there? And sometimes, again, when your niche is certain things or you're not an expert, you've got so many different balls to juggle, that we lose sight of this fundamental, though, isn't it? So just give me an idea of how people can shift that mentality to become more profit conscious.
I think it's all about the cash in the business that then drives the profit forward. So we're all too conscious of paying everything else and we forget to pay ourselves. So with Profit First and with Your Profit Coach, the way that I try and encourage business owners is to actually pay themselves first, because without them, there is no business. So they are actually the most important person within the business, though they don't like to think like that. And it's understandable, because we worry about everybody else and we forget to worry about ourselves. And that's not just related to money. That's in everyday life, isn't it? So it's flipping that switch around to creating that habit to actually pay yourself first, then pay your employees, pay your bills. But it forces you to consider whether you actually need all the costs that you've got in your business at that point in time.
I like the way that you've used consistently throughout this conversation already the word habit. How crucial are these little habits that we can pick up and then kind of shift, pivot, go from being sort of a bit higgledy-piggledy to much more focused in our approach?
Yeah, they're key to the whole system working, to be perfectly honest with you. You've got to change that mindset and build that habit up that perhaps the same time on the same day every week is the day that you sort your finances. Perhaps some business owners, they have an admin day. So some people call it Financial Friday. Some people call it Money Monday, or there's lots of different terms like that, but it's just something catchy to kind of help you build that habit. And what with Profit First, all it is about having different bank accounts to move money into. Oh. So when your income comes into your bank account from your clients, and that's built up throughout the week, the same time, the same day every week, you go on and you move different percentages of money into different pots. So a certain percentage for profit, a certain percentage for your future tax liabilities, a certain percentage for the owner's pay, and a certain percentage is left then for your operating expenses. And obviously, this is, we're working with someone like me or another profit first professional. This is all set out in a particular rollout plan over a certain period of time, because you can't just click your fingers and suddenly stop spending the money you've been spending. You have to gradually build that in gradually and obviously reduce your costs. But of course, if you're increasing your income at the same time, percentage based doesn't necessarily mean your costs will reduce pound wise, but percentage based they will.
And is this what is encompassed in the pumpkin plan?
No, so the pumpkin plan is slightly different. So the pumpkin plan and Profit First really complement each other. They're written by this, created by the same person. And with the pumpkin plan, we then delve deeper into the business and we start to talk about who's your best client or who's your ideal clients that you would prefer to work with. And if you've already got them, what are they like? And what, you know, how do you work together? How does it work best for you? What's your unique offering? So what you offer them, and it has to be perhaps something you enjoy and you have a lot of passion working on as well. And then how can you systemize that approach? So the ultimate aim for most businesses, depending on what trade you're in, etc., is to be able to systemize so you can scale your business and you can earn money while you're not always tied to a desk or working within your business. So it kind of takes, so you kind of do the profit. But with me, I work through Profit First first. We get the business into a much better shape from a cash point of view. The business owners are already earning a little bit more money. And then we work through putting the pumpkin plan strategy into place to build that growing business that's going to maintain a regular income and a higher level income for a long time for the business owner.
It's just what it's all about. And I'm sure you're really massively influencing and assisting so many people, enriching their lives as they learn these better habits. It strikes me that there's quite a synergy here between a culture of success and coaching from a sporting realm into this business sphere. And I know yourself are a UEFA-B qualified coach. Have you been able to tap into those similar skills and resources? And have you found it beneficial in your kind of current working life?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I've been a football coach for about 18, 19 years now. And I decided to back up my experience by getting my coaching badges as well. So I passed my UEFA-B in November 2019. So it's fairly recent. I've got a lot of passion and energy and enthusiasm towards football, which is probably coming across in how I'm saying it with a smile on my face at the same time. There's ways of developing a young football player and preparing them ready to move into adult football, that you can use those transferable skills with coaching a business owner and how they can grow their business. So yeah, building a team, building a football team and building a business, there's so much synergy between the two. And I try and bring that to the table when I'm talking with people, especially if I'm working with sports related businesses, which I try and do as often as I can.
Makes sense to twin our passions, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
One thing that does fascinate me, though, about this is because that all makes total sense, and I'm sure you're really, really good at it. But obviously, whenever you're trying to get people to shift their mindsets, sometimes because habits of a negative form have been so long embraced, is there occasions where there is I wouldn't say a wrestle, but a kind of challenge to change, to shift that focus?
Yeah, you come up against some resistance from people. Initially, when you tell someone that they need to open some extra bank accounts, that's the first point of resistance sometimes, because it seems like hard work. But if we use the new kind of online app-based banks, then quite often you can open one account and then you can have lots of little pots that you can use and you can move the money aside. So although it's in the same account, it's moved into different pots. So that's how I try and resolve that issue. There can be resistance. There can be that negative kind of mindset all around money. So we have to try and work and talk these things through with our clients, which we do as best we can. Generally, most people want to change. That's why they come to us.
Yes.
They know they can't carry on how they're going. So we kind of go back and remind them why they approached us in the first place, why they're talking to us, you know, how they feel right now when things aren't quite going according to plan from when they set the business up. Yes. And so, yeah, we kind of talk these things through, and the emotion kind of kicks in, and then the reality also forms that, yes, you're right, we did sign up to this, we do want to change, and we need to keep being positive and moving forward. So,
tapping into that why, that motivation, is always key to success and driving success in any given context. That's absolutely brilliant. We're going to touch more on your profit coach in just a second. But again, we've alluded to your passion for sport, and obviously nice synergy there with Koi Sports. We are honoured to have you involved. We're really mindfully blown, frankly, by the generosity and the benevolence of all our awesome members. Tim, tell me, how did you learn about Koi Sports?
So I was chatting to Beverly Sankey, who's an elite member herself. We met on a networking call, and then we had a one-to-one just to have a chat and see what synergies there were between us. I explained to her that alongside running Your Profit Coach, I'm building an online community to support grassroots football. And of course, that then sparked the conversation, and Bev felt that I would be a great person to yes. join up with Koi Sports. And I have to say, from speaking to David and meeting some of the guys already on a couple of events, it's an absolutely fantastic organisation, and the work they do is amazing. So really pleased to be a part of it.
And as I say, we're delighted that you're involved. I've had the honour of interviewing Bev. She's a force of nature. But it's a wonderful illustration, isn't it? Because for all the skills that we've all got in on an individual level, they'll take you to a certain plateau, won't they? But it's when you become conscious that your skills can benefit others, and in turn, and we find these partnerships, which Koi Sports is all about, that's when we really, really begin to see personal and self-development, isn't it?
Absolutely. You can't just rely on yourself, because we don't know everything. Nobody knows everything, and there's always someone out there that you can learn from. And I think as a business coach, if you're not coachable yourself, how can you coach someone else? So I consider myself to be very coachable. The same with football. Yes. I love to learn off of other coaches and other people in football, and the same in business. And so, yeah, I probably push myself out of my comfort zone a little bit by joining some networking events, because it's never really been what I've done.
Sure.
But I felt it was important, and I've met some wonderful people, Beth being one of them, that there's so much synergy between what I offer and what other people offer, that we have conversations and see where we can help each other out, and we collaborate together, which is absolutely fantastic.
It really, really is. And again, literally embodying everything that Koi Sports is all about there. But ultimately, what you're doing here is, of course, again, benefiting from those connections, but are also benefiting in turn a real great grassroots sporting institution in the Greater Manchester FC. Just tell me a little bit about the process that you went through to sort of make them your focus for your sponsorship side of things.
Yeah, I had a couple of ideas of my own, but I spoke to David, and we had quite a long chat about where my kind of passion is, which is obviously around grassroots football. And he suggested that I spoke to Mohammed Haroon of Greater Manchester Football Club. So we arranged a Zoom call. And to be honest with you, I just said, tell me about the football club. And he was probably only speaking for about 30 seconds. And I just thought, yep, without doubt, the money is going towards this organisation, because it's amazing. Their whole ethos of inclusivity and diversity is absolutely second to none. And just listening to his enthusiasm about the club and where they want to go, it just blows you away. So I was really pleased to be able to sponsor the event on International Women's Day, which was Creating Her Story. Mm-hmm. And I believe it was really successful. And I'm looking forward to continuing a relationship, and I'm hoping to go up there sometime soon to visit and have a look around the ground and the stadium, and maybe meet more of their colleagues up there, which would be really fantastic.
And I know they're massively grateful, and make sure you stick with us for this one, because that we'll be touching base with Mohammed from the Greater Manchester Football Club to pick up on his passion and to learn a bit about those successes very soon indeed. But Tim, coming back to your successes there at Your Profit Coach, first of all, I think it's appropriate, because I think you've enticed us. I've really appreciated your energy and your enthusiasm and your knowledge base, really. I'm sure many people listening may feel they're slightly stuck in a rut, maybe receptive to altering habits and improving their focus. What's the best way to engage with you guys?
So probably the initial thing to do would be to go on a website, which is yourprofitcoach.co.uk, and just make contact. There's a contact us button on there. Press it. It comes through to me, and you can put down, you know, if you need help, I'm always willing to have a one-to-one call with anybody that I can potentially help. But I don't work with everybody I talk to. So some people may come on a call with me, and it might not just feel quite right for whatever reason. I might not feel I can help them in the way they need help. Some people want an accountant as well as a coach, so I can point them in that direction and say, look, I know there's 20 of us in the Profit First community in this country at the moment, so I can point you to one of my colleagues there, and they might be better placed to help you. There's always someone that can help. If you're in a business right now, you own a business, you feel tired, you feel exhausted, you feel like you're not paying yourself enough, then Profit First really is the answer. So yeah, reach out to me. If you want to work with me, great. If you want to work with one of my colleagues in Profit First, that's fantastic as well.
I got to tell you, Tim, I think that message will resonate with so many people at this moment in time. It is, of course, a very challenging time. I take my hat off to all entrepreneurs who've taken a risk on themselves, but sometimes the reality isn't as hunky-dory as the dream. But I'm sure with your support, many will improve, find that solution and get the great goals that they're capable of. I'm really fascinated again because structure and habit seem to be so vital to success, particularly within this business realm. Give me an insight into, I guess, the various tiers of programs that you offer.
Yeah, so there's three programs I offer. So there's the Premier Profit Club, and this involves a 6-month course where you have 2 one-to-one coaching sessions with me per month. You also have access to the online program where there's stacked full of information, and you also have access to the Pumpkin Plan program as well. So you get access to 2 portals, one's Profit First and one's the Pumpkin Plan. We basically work through from scratch. Anyone who works with me, first of all, we do a profit assessment on your business, which basically tells us how historically you've managed cash in your business up to this point. From there, we can then produce what's called a profit rollout plan. And that is then the plan that we structure to move you forward to eventually achieve the target allocation percentages that Profit First dictates your business should be at. And 9 times out of 10, or probably 99 times out of 100, those percentages are accurate and they work for all businesses.
Astonishing.
So that's one package. The second package is a 3-month option, where it's all around implementing and maintaining Profit First. So we don't delve into the Pumpkin Plan on that one, we just introduce it. And then the final package I offer is an online program for the DIY business owners themselves that feel quite confident that they know they can manage and have they don't need the accountability, so they've got the disciplines to take this forward. But even if you do the online course, I will be following that up with an accountability call after 3 months to see how you've got on. So you don't get away that easily. You have to actually manage it and put it into your business properly.
But so many opportunities there, and just a great resolve. And also, I like the fact that whatever is right for you and your particular business, you, Tim, and all the other team there will be very much on board, on hand to lend support and give that guidance throughout the programs.
Absolutely. I mean, the main thing with coaching is the key part is listening to your client, to be honest with you, and just listen to where they're stuck, where they're having problems. We focus on Profit First and the Pumpkin Plan, but that doesn't mean we don't help out in other areas. You know, we've got a lot of experience in marketing and social media, etc. And so there's lots of areas we can help businesses. It might not be written in the package, but we offer it anyway, because that's, to me, that's just coaching, that's just helping.
I love that. And also, do you know one thing I have personally noticed, and speaking to a lot of successful people in various different forms, it's really interesting. I found But when you take ownership of one particular aspect, make that your focus, the ripple effects are often very profound, aren't they, in areas that you didn't necessarily anticipate. Just give me briefly, if you could, your experiences along those lines.
Yeah, I mean, it happens every time, to be honest with you. Every time you're working with someone on a one-to-one basis, they have similar problems, but they have a different angle to that problem. And so it's just delving in and just having a look and seeing where they want to go. I've worked with people that really don't know how to market themselves, and that's not been detrimental to them. They would admit that themselves. You know, they haven't had any experience of content marketing. They don't know how to perhaps build up a following on social media, etc. So we can kind of go down that route and help them with that as well, even though that's not part of the program. But loosely, we incorporate it into the program because they need help there. And if we don't help them there, we can't help them with the core of the program, which is where they really need to turn their business around. So yeah, it just all links in.
It absolutely does. But at the core of what you do, again, comes back to the essence of any business. At the end of the day, if you are making more profit, then you can continue to grow, sustain, and then all the other energies focusing in on different aspects, be that marketing, be that business progression, corporate advancement, will begin to make sense, as opposed to feeling a little bit overwhelming. So I think you are absolutely at the essence of any entrepreneur's toolkit and need. And once again, Tim, please remind us all, anybody in that realm right now who may be curious to learn more, what's the best way to engage?
If you go to yourprofitcoach.co.uk and hit the contact us button, that will come directly into my inbox, and then I'll be in contact with you. I'm also on LinkedIn as Tim J. Seymour, Your Profit Coach. I'm on Twitter at Tim J. Seymour. I'm on Facebook. There's a Facebook page called Your Profit Coach. So you'll be able to find me on any social media site as well. But to keep it simple, yourprofitcoach.co.uk is the easiest place.
Love that. And engage with Tim Seymour and the team there at Your Profit Coach. What have you got to lose, I think, is the simple question that you've got to ask yourself. Tim, it's been a real sincere pleasure to appreciate your time and company. I think you're doing admirable work and really influencing positively so many people. Is there anything in closing you'd like to crystallize or just draw to our attention at all?
So the only other thing I'm working on right now is the football community that I'm building online, which is kind of an extra part to my business now. So that's called the Soccer Profit Coaches Club. And my idea for this is to engage with freelance self-employed football coaches, grassroots football clubs, academy owners below the professional level, and semi-professional football clubs. And my aim is to build a community on Facebook where we have three live sessions a month. One being me talking about how they can manage their cash using profit first tips and strategies. Another session talking football, because at the end of the day, it's a football community. And if you don't offer football, no one's going to join. And the third is a networking meeting where people can come in and they can say they've got a problem with this or they need support with that. Mm. And hopefully someone within the community will be able to offer some support and build that kind of relationship where people will speak up and say, you know, I'm a young coach, I'm not quite sure what to do in this situation. Or it doesn't have to be a young coach, but you get the essence of what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to build that community. So again, for anyone that wants to find out about that, if you're on LinkedIn, there's a free page to follow called the Soccer Profit Coach. And if you're on Facebook, there's a group called the Soccer Profit Coaches Club. But there is a small monthly subscription to join the community, but it's very low cost. So the more people we get in there, the more we can keep the cost down for everybody. It's just about giving back a little bit to the community of grassroots football.
Tim, I truly, really love that. And I wish you every continued success, joy and happiness with that strand. And of course, as Your Profit Coach, no doubt, continues to go from strength to strength. Thank you so much for your time. And as I say, I wish you and team every continued joy, success and happiness. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tony.
Hello again and welcome to Koi Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast, where as always, the focus is on connecting business with grassroots sports and charities, both here in the UK and throughout the world. Now, this very podcast is going to kind of encapsulate that. it's a real joy to introduce not only Elite Koi Sports member, Mohammed Haroon from Greater Manchester FC, but he's also being supported by another member. So it's a kind of double whammy, this one. But Mohammed, welcome. Welcome to Koi Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much for having me.
Absolute joy. Really a pleasure to be here. I know you guys are doing awesome things there at Greater Manchester FC. Excited to learn all about that. But just to start with, Mohammed, I always like to get a bit of a feel for the people who are with us in this organization, Koi Sports, doing wonderful things. So just give me a little flavor of yourself and I guess what brought you to Greater Manchester FC.
It was quite an interesting one. Basically, I've been in football for a long time. I've been fortunate enough to be part of the game at various kind of different levels, kind of various different coaching levels. And I guess kind of where kind of GMFC kind of came about was over the last kind of few years, I started to get a little bit uneasy with some of the things that I was seeing in football in general. For someone who kind of grew up in Yorkshire in kind of the 80s and 90s, football for me was always a very working class game. You played on the streets, you played in the park. Yeah. And irrespective of kind of where you were, you always knew that one guy that lived down the street or someone who lived around the corner who could try and get you into like a local team or a club or an academy or something like that. And that's what grassroots was all about. It was about kind of, you know, at the core heart of it, it was the working class community. Over the last kind of 10 years or so, a little bit more than that, I saw the game starting to become very elite. And unless you had parents who could pay astronomical amounts to one-to-one tutors and academies, and then you had to buy all the fancy kits to go with it, and unless you had the latest boots and the shin pads and all the rest of it, it was very, very hard for just the average kid on the street to get a decent academy and to get that quality of coaching that could then allow them to go on to kind of play at the high levels of the game. So that started to kind of sit very, very uncomfortable with me in the sense I thought that's not for me what grassroots football is all about. So that was one of the things that I wanted to kind of set about kind of changing about. And then the other thing for me was how kind of the atmosphere in football, when it came to things like BME engagement or LGBT engagement, things like that, it was always a proactive attitude. It was a reactive attitude rather. It was a question of, well, let's wait for something to go wrong.
Yes, yes.
Then we'll issue a statement or we'll start a movement or we'll try and kind of create some sort of a marketing scheme around it. There was never anything to say, well, actually, why not wait for something to go wrong? Instead of doing that, let's look at actually what are the barriers? What are the things stopping the engagement? What can we do to actually preempt that and do something about it? So the two things kind of sat very, very poorly with me sort of thing. So I was kind of, it was starting to fester and it was starting to get to a point where, you know, the frustration was building sort of thing. I got in touch with kind of the county FA and I kind of did like a whole feedback thing in terms of, look, you know, I'm really kind of disappointed as someone who's kind of, you know, at the end of the day, first of all, I've got to say it's a game I love, you know, it's a game I'm glad to be a part of. And I was starting to kind of, you know, and I said, look, I'm really, really uncomfortable with this. And I have to give a lot of credit to Manchester FA as well, because we sat down and we had this massive meeting and this is, look, is that genuinely where you feel the game is? And I said, look, I've not said what I've said to kind of make a statement. What I've said, because I was genuine about the fact that something has to give. And they kind of turned around to me and says, look, well, if that's what you believe in and that's what you feel, you know, what are you prepared to do about it? And I said, look, all said and done, I'm one person. Okay, I can stand on my soapbox until I'm blue in the face. Nothing's going to change. The question is, what are you prepared to do about it? And this is, look, you know, well, if that's how passionate you feel about, you know, what can be done from an integration point of view, a diversity point of view, but also in terms of grassroots, in terms of the accessibility to coaching at grassroots, if that's how you feel, we'll give you the support that we can to try and set up a new club in Manchester. They loved it from the idea of having a grassroots club in Manchester, because Manchester is quite a unique for the city, which is so synonymous with sports. It's very unique in the sense that you've got two clubs at the very top of the football pyramid and then very little representation in the lower leagues with actually Manchester in the name. So you've got regional stuff, which is, you know, your Salfords and your Oldhams and your Stockports and things like that. The only other thing with a Manchester in it is the FC United of Manchester, which was the breakaway team from the anti-Glazer thing. So unless you were an anti-Glazer protester, it was very hard for you to support them as your local team sort of thing. So they like the idea of us being able to kind of fill that market. But for me, ultimately, it was about creating an environment. So what GMFC basically was created for was to create a platform where We don't care what race someone is. We don't care what religion is. We don't care what orientation they are. We don't care about any of those different things. And we don't care who's financially well off and who's different. All we wanted to do was we wanted to create an environment where people feel welcome, they feel safe, they can be themselves. And in doing that, we can then push them and coach them to the best of our abilities and giving them all the resources that they'd get at higher levels to try and push them on to go and do something bigger and better. At the same time, trying to make them better citizens.
Yes.
So the one thing that we've been very careful about is the fact that, you know, most of our participants come from very challenging backgrounds. And, you know, we've got refugees and things like that. What we can't do is we can't dangle this carrot of football in front of them for a couple of years and get them on board. And then if it doesn't work out, because we all know the failure rate in football is astronomically high, we can't then kind of leave them high and dry with all the mental issues that comes with it.
Absolutely.
So we do is every single person that joins us, we sit down with them and we almost kind of say, look, okay, well, yes, you're here to work on the football, that's great, but what's your plan B? Okay, so in 1 year or 2 years or 3 years, if the football doesn't work, what's your plan B? So we help them to go back and do some of the GCSEs again,
nice,
or the A-levels, or get some sort of vocation course. So at the end of the day, even if the football doesn't work, they're in a position now where they can be a more valuable member of society. So that's, in a nutshell, that's basically what we're about.
No, I just love it. And again, it's, for me, appreciate massively your passion that's really come through there strong. But also, it really is at the very core of everything that Koi Sports is all about. Because again, it's that appreciation of what really grassroots is. And it's that opportunity, it's that citizenship, and it's that kind of community, really, that you're able to foster. That's, I think, really, really powerful there.
Yeah, I mean, we've been so honestly fortunate in terms of having the partnership with Koi Sports. I mean, everyone part of the organization, you know, from David's just been an absolute blessing, honestly, and everyone at the organization, we've been in a position where I'm very, very proud of the fact that we've probably, through Koi Sports, we've probably had six or seven different people that we've come across. And I can honestly say there's not a single network that we've done, or there's not a single connection that we've been put in touch with someone that's been anything less than amazing to us.
That's beautiful.
And it's been completely useful, and it's been something that we've always been able to grow with. And because the thing is, the way I've kind of looked at it, and part of the reason why I was very keen to join Koi Sports is when I kind of first had that conversation with David, I said, look, for us, for GMFC, GMFC is not about me.
No.
Okay, my intention for the club is for the club to be around long after I've gone. So because of that, there's a bigger sense of purpose here, in the sense that, look, we've got an opportunity now to do something quite special. Okay, now what we've got to then look at is we've got to look at it beyond our own ego in terms of, well, I want to do this and I want to do it. No, actually, what we've got to look at it is, what can we do to make this sustainable? What can we do to make this as big as possible, as good as possible, to deliver the best possible product? Now, to do that, I'm a big, big, big believer in the fact that to do that, you've got to collaborate.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there are people out there that are better skilled at me at doing certain things. And if I'm serious about taking it to beyond where it needs to be, we've got to collaborate. And that's something where Koi Sports have been an absolute dream for us, honestly, because the doors that they've opened for us, the people that, you know, you guys have put us in touch with, have been absolutely phenomenal.
And again, that's what it's all about. And again, you are both a member and being supported. We'll delve into that in a little bit more detail. I'm always curious to learn. As you rightly say, you've embraced and you really appreciated massively the partnership possibilities that Koi Sports provides, the synergy that's there with the like-minded people with different skill sets, pooling resources. It's really what it's all about. How did you actually initially learn about Koi Sports? How did you kind of get involved?
Yeah, so I initially was introduced to David by somebody else who was in football, so somebody within the FA. So I think it was Aaron Williams, who we knew through his work with some of the diversity stuff, and he kind of put me in touch with David. And it was one of those where, you know, you have that first conversation with someone and it's almost like you've already known this person for the last 20 years or so.
Absolutely.
You know, like you said about the synergy, it was almost like, and what it was for me was, obviously, having kind of been in that journey now where I was coming up against some battles, and I was trying to kind of, I'm, you know, there is quite a serious core of, there are things that we're trying to tear down in terms of some of the social barriers, some of the prejudices, some of the things that we're trying to tear down. And I was in that process where I was in kind of battle mode, to then kind of come across someone who really kind of understood everything that what we were trying to do and why, but not just that, but also someone who actually turned around and says, actually, you know what? Not just what you're doing is great and not is something that we're going to believe in, but actually I'm happy to do whatever I can to make this work in any sort of way. It was, you know what? It was at a stage where it just filled me with confidence.
Beautiful.
And that's why it was such an amazing thing, because honestly, at that point, it made me feel 10 foot tall. And I was like, you know what, actually, there are people like that around. There are people who understand why something like this has to happen against the backdrop of everything else that's happening, where, you know, it seems as though, you know, for all the work that we're trying to do in terms of integration, it actually seems like what people want to do now is actually want to highlight differences and put people in that. You're that, and you're that, and you're that, and you're that. Whereas to have someone who actually says, you know what, against the backdrop of what's happening, what you're doing right now is absolutely essential, and I get it. Let's do it. It was just the most amazing experience, honestly. It really was.
Just love it. I just love it. And again, so many important things coming through there. The importance of sustainability, the importance of integration, and kind of just allowing individuals to flourish as human beings at the end of the day. That is what we all are, people. I think it's appropriate, Mohammed, for you to just please, because I'm hooked. I'm excited to learn more. I'm sure many others are keen to build on your energy and kind of learn more information. What's the best way to engage with Greater Manchester FC?
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that I've always said, is we want people to actively engage with us as much as possible. Like I said, this is not my club. It belongs to anyone. It belongs to everyone. We, you know, we want everyone. And not just in Greater Manchester, anyone, anywhere. You know, if there's other people that think, actually, it's a really good idea, and where I'm based in Leicester or Birmingham or Luton or Bradford, something similar needs to happen, we're happy to do that. We want people to engage with us. You can come to us through the website, which is www.greatermanchesterfc.com. Our Instagram and Twitter is at @GMFC_club, or you can just simply do the old-fashioned thing, which none of us does anymore, picks up the phone, and we're on 0161 393 9733. But we would love for people to interact, whether somebody just wants to come and join, whether someone just wants to come and watch, or whether someone actually says, you know what, I quite fancy doing a similar sort of thing in my own area, just don't know. Oh, we're happy to have conversations with any of those.
Once again, a key message coming through loud and clear here is that Mohammed and the team at Greater Manchester FC are very open and kind of keen to engage with so many people. If this is sounding appealing, if there could well be a possibility of a seed in your head of maybe creating something akin to Greater Manchester FC where you are, don't hesitate to get in touch. As we know, it's through engaging, and also, through opening and also, doors, maybe change your path, learn things new, get in touch. Definitely recommend that. More extra
and also thinking. And also we've not cracked it either. If you've come and been part of one of our projects, or you've come to one of our events, or you've come to a session, and actually you turn around and you think, actually, you know what, they're onto something here, but if they just did that little bit of difference, do it. I think one of the things that anyone that's ever worked with us will say is we are very, very open to feedback. We love to hear from people to say, look, I think you should change this. Maybe have you looked at this, or have you looked at this partner, or have you looked at this? Because that's what we're all here to do. If everybody that's around the club has that mentality that, look, let's set something up for future generations, I can't see us going wrong, to be honest.
And again, a credit to you. That's a reflection of the fact that it's considerably more than any one individual's ego, but about what this represents and the bigger picture, which is so, so important. One of the key things, though, that's really striking me strong here is the importance of integration. And as you say, you know, we love to put up labels in our society, but there are, of course, certain strikingly obvious differences. And I know, of course, one of those is gender. And I know you've been supported brilliantly by Tim Seymour from Profits Coach, supported massive work that you guys did on behalf of and through International Women's Day. I'm excited, Mohammed, to learn a little bit more about that particular project.
Yeah, it was absolutely brilliant, honestly. And again, Tim, someone who's been absolutely brilliant as well. He was so kind of supportive. And even, it was literally off the back of a 5-minute conversation. I hadn't even finished yet, and Tim's like, I'm there. It was absolutely brilliant. So yeah, so we basically, what we wanted to do was, we wanted to, off the back of International Women's Day, we wanted to kind of do something a little bit different, where we wanted to kind of actively, you know what we were talking about before, about how the attitude seems to be a kind of a reactive one, to say, well, let's wait for something to go wrong, then we'll do it. We actually thought, you know what, let's be proactive about it. So what we did was, we organized a sports day internally. It was an internal sports day where we invited some girls from primary schools and secondary schools across Manchester. And we specifically asked the schools and the PE teachers and the coordinators to bring those girls that don't normally happily participate in PE, because we wanted to show the fun aspect of it. You know, it's in school sometimes, you know, it can be hard. you know, some of the schools, especially those schools that are in kind of very, very kind of urban environments and very kind of mixed communities, they don't always have the best resources. We know that, you know, they don't always have the best sports halls and they don't always have the best pitches and whatever. So they can't. So we wanted to bring them to a really nice environment and really get them engaged. But what kind of Tim's involvement then did allowed us to kind of take it that little bit step further. That what the difference was with Tim's support, rather than it just being a standalone event, with the support that Tim brought in, what it allowed us to do was it allowed us to create tracker programs for all these. We could say, well, actually, of all the girls that attended, this is how many took part in a sport today for the first time. Our female staff, so the entire event from our side was run by female staff only.
Brilliant.
So the entire event from morning to night, the whole thing was female staff only. Our female staff would then be able to, with the schools, to then put steps in place to say, well, actually, we then got in touch with them 2 weeks later.
Yes.
So look, how did you find it? So on and so forth. And we gave them like feedback forms. And then what we did off the back of that, we then arranged to give the schools letters to send home to the parents of those girls to say, just to let you know, 2 weeks ago, your daughter took part in such and such. She decided, she's a real express to say, look, she enjoyed that. She enjoyed that. Here are two clubs local to you that play this sport.
I just love it.
Now, that support that we would have been able to do the first part, but without the added little bit of support from Tim, we wouldn't have been able to put the tracker program in afterwards. I love
it. And it's that ripple effect, isn't it? It's that compounding.
Absolutely.
And it's that sense of care, Mohammed, really, that's so important.
What we saw off the back of it, literally, we hadn't even delivered the event yet. And we already had about 9 or 10 schools who came back to us and said, look, we were unable to do the first one. When are you doing the second? When are you doing the third one? So we're already now have two other ones planned off the back of that first one as well, which is, again, is a credit to Tim and his support as well.
Absolutely brilliant. Because, again, I talk to a lot of people and it's been an honour to be involved with Koi Sports Podcasting. But there are folk out there who talk a jolly good game. And they say all the right things. And you talk to them and you're kind of like, well, what are you doing? Where is the meat behind the bones here? And some people, you know, like I say, they walk the walk, but they don't talk. They talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. Mohammed, you do both. It's a real appreciating.
You know what, though? I have to say, I'm only able to do it because of an amazing team of people I've got with me. Yeah, this is not my achievement by any stretch of the imagination. You know, we've got about 40 people involved at the club behind the scenes, from coaches to nutritionists, to strength and conditioning coaches, to volunteers, to events plus, to social media stuff. Honestly, everything that you see is the sum of the hard work of a hell of a lot of amazing people. So it is by no stretch of the imagination. It's not my achievement. It's an achievement that a very, very, very wonderful team of people is putting together. And I love them to bits and I can't give them enough credit. I really can't.
I totally appreciate that sentiment. And again, from us at Koi Sports to all at Greater Manchester FC, really, I know you will keep up the great work. It's truly awe-inspiring. But I think it's also important now to bring in the context here, Mohammed, of a man who delivers on promises and really kind of seizes the picture and participates. Because, of course, as well as having this support from Tim Seymour, you yourself are a member. And I know ultimately we value sport, we love sport, we appreciate your mission. But I think in our present moment, it's also quite important we realise at the end of the day, it is but a game. And there are bigger things playing out on planet Earth right now. And I know one person doing massive things to support that is Chris Lomas over at Hope for You and Hope for. And I know you're supporting him massively. Just give me an idea of your journey towards supporting Chris.
To be honest, you know what? Again, it's not something that... I can't sit here claiming that we've done a huge amount, because what Chris is doing is phenomenal. It's completely true what you say. Look, at the end of the day, football is a game, and there's a real world out there with real world problems. What Chris was doing is amazing. We had a couple of chats with Chris, and then I had a Zoom call with Chris, and I was absolutely blown away with what he was doing and the concept of what he was doing as well. And then, excuse me, the fact that himself and his wife are then out there at ground zero, making a difference, just completely blew me away. When we were kind of having the conversation with him, it kind of drew parallels for me when I kind of first started and what it feels like to be kind of one person trying to do 12 things at the same time. And so for me, it was just a very, very small little gesture. And I said to myself, look, I really appreciate what you're doing. Anything that we can do to contract the bid and off. So one of the little things that we did was I said to him, I said, look, my social media team is your social media team. Do what you need to do. If there's anything that you can, if there's anything we can help you out with, whether it's some posts on social media, things like that. And then as the conversations evolved and he was talking about these kids that, you know, play football and there's so many kids that are abandoned. I just thought it was one of those things that, you know what? I was sat in my office and under my desk, I had about 3 boxes of kits from last season. I just thought, you know what? Actually, Chris, you know what? I can't do a lot. Because what you do is beyond words. But what we can do is we can try and make a little bit of difference. So we've got some kits sat here that we're not using. Yep. We'll arrange to get them all sent over to you. We'll set them in nice little kits. So that way, those kids out there, rather than just kind of looking like a ragtag bunch, they feel like a team.
Absolutely.
So I know the importance of that because we were very, very picky about that when it came to our own team. Mm. I wanted them to be well-dressed. Because for those 90 minutes, I wanted them to feel like $1 million. Mm. It was a psychological thing.
Indeed.
So I wanted to have that same feeling with those kids that are out there going through all the stuff that they're going through. So, you know, what we've done is, honestly, it's a drop in the ocean compared to what Chris is doing. And it's one tiny, tiny little thing that we could do to help. But, you know, anyone else that's kind of unaware of what the guys are doing out there, honestly, I encourage them to get in touch with Hope 4 because they are amazing.
Truly are, and again, appreciate your humility there, but I know Chris massively appreciates it, and literally every single little gesture will go towards Chris and his wife and their team, based in Moldova, very close, of course, to the pickles in Ukraine.
Yeah, our team was actually planning to fly over and kind of take the kits and stuff over as well. We're just waiting to see, obviously, what's happening with the current situation, obviously, from a safety point of view. Fingers crossed, hopefully, back end of the summer, we're going to physically go over and spend a couple of days with the kids and take all the kits and stuff over as well. And hopefully, in a tiny, tiny little way, lend Chris and his wife a hand as well.
Every single gesture massively helps. And I really, again, wish that project well. Hopefully, things do steady down. If you can get involved with Hope 4, well worth checking them out. Literally every single penny will go towards them and their support, fighting trafficking, supporting people in this struggle at the moment in Ukraine, doing amazing, amazing things. Hope 4. But you give me hope and your massive mission here in the UK, because as much as we do say it is just sports, it is also a part of a bigger picture, Mohammed. Again, providing opportunities, giving a legacy, creating that sense of togetherness. What's next for Greater Manchester FC?
You know what? Honestly, we are unashamedly ambitious. we have no hesitations whatsoever to say, look, we are ambitious. Our ambitions are over the next kind of, you know, 15 to 20 seasons or so to establish ourselves as a lower league team. You know, we're not stupid about the fact that we know the resources it takes to get into the higher echelons. We're not worried about that. But if we can establish ourselves as a lower league team, but at the same time, while maintaining our link to the communities, our link to the grassroots, and always keeping that open door policy. So irrespective of how good that first team does, our academy teams, our reserve teams will always be based at Hough End. So we're part of Hough End now, which is this massive project happening in Manchester through our partnership with the council. So it's a massive regeneration project. We're going to be the football club that's going to be based at this multi-sports facility, which is going to be amazing. And we are partnered into that long term. So there will always be, we want to kind of create an environment where, irrespective of how well the first team does, it's always going to be very, very easy to gain access to Greater Manchester Football Club for any boys, girls, anywhere across Greater Manchester. The other thing that we want to try and do is, at the moment, we have people that attend us across Greater Manchester. Mm-hmm. And as great as that is, we sort of feel that our philosophy is that, you know, you shouldn't have to travel 45 minutes an hour to access an environment where you feel safe and to access the quality of coaching that we want to do. Part of the reason why I wanted to be Greater Manchester was because I didn't want to be geographically restricted. Gotcha. So the other intention is that as we go through the years, we want to have satellite clubs across Oldham and Rochdale and Bolton and Ashton. So the idea is that irrespective of where somebody lives within Greater Manchester, what we provide and the environment we create, they should have accessible to closer to them to home. And then hopefully that will always feed in to the central club in Manchester.
I love it. And I can see the vision. And I also got a feeling as though that if you are listening to this and have a sort of a kindred spirit, there really is a great opportunity for this to kind of blossom, almost become a bit of a franchise type model where, again, you stick true to that ethos, but you take it to various different communities right across the country, because I know so many counties, so many pockets of this land would benefit and be enriched by similar type work. Mohammed, once again, please remind me and everybody listening about the best way to engage with you there at Greater Manchester FC.
Yeah, absolutely. Please feel free to engage with us for anything that you're interested in. If like I said, we are part of a long-term journey, and we encourage you to be a part of our journey in whatever way you want to be. You can get in touch with us through the social medias, which is at @GMFC_club. You can get in touch with us through the website, which is www.greatermanchesterfc.com, or pick up the phone and just give us a call and have a chat with us, which is 0161 393 9733.
I love that. So nobody picks up the phone these days. Get involved, get involved, get in chats. They're so engageable.
Pick up the phone and have a chat with us.
What's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to have a bit of a conversation. You might learn something. Get involved. Mohammed, once again, please remind me of the best ways to engage, not only that important phone number, but across social media and online too.
Absolutely. So the website is www.greatermanchesterfc.com. Our socials are @GMFC_club. And the telephone number is 0161 393 9733.
Love it, Mohammed. It's been a joy to appreciate your time and your company. In closing, is there anything else you'd like to add, crystallise, or just bring to our attention at all?
I think just the thing that I want to say is for anybody who's kind of listening, is to say, look, when we talk about things like diversity and inclusivity and things like that, it's not, these aren't standalone things that need to happen. That should be embedded in everything that we do. And one of the things that we're trying to prove at GMFC is that when you don't have to kind of compromise quality to still maintain things like that. So we want to kind of prove that actually, you know what? I always kind of say to people, you know what? It takes more energy to hate than it does to love. Do you know what I mean? To actually bear grudges against people and to kind of have prejudices about things and that person, that takes a hell of a lot of effort. Just let it go. Put a smile on your face, you know, hug someone if you're not sure. Okay, it doesn't hurt, honestly. It takes a lot more effort to have these hang-ups and put people in pigeonholes. Let's just let it go, you know. For every one thing that separates us as a difference, there's 100 things that we've got in common. Let's concentrate on the things that we have in common. We all want to be happy. We all want to be looked after our family. We all want to be loved. Let's concentrate on that. And honestly, we've got the potential to create heaven on earth. Honestly, we really have.
Hear, hear. Amen to that. I really appreciate that. That's powerful. Although it's an incredibly simple message. It sometimes falls on deaf ears. But it's great to know that people like you and so many others are really paving the way and really just establishing some powerful, clean cut, beautiful virtues there that will stand everybody in good stead. Mohammed, thank you so much once again for your time and company.
An absolute pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
This has been Tony Rice for Koi Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast. If you like what you've heard and are interested in becoming a member of Koi Sports CIC, or simply looking for more information about all our phenomenal members, and of course, the amazing work being done here, take a moment and simply visit www.koisports.co.uk. I'll repeat, that's www.koisports.co.uk. And be sure to listen in next week for another Koi Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast.